Colossians chapter 2, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, understanding of the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I'm absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see that your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to a human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, but by putting off of the body of flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive to the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to the things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Father, thank you for this morning. I specifically just bless your presence here to cover us. And would you cover this beautiful family that have given their lives to honor you by caring for those who are in need. And we thank you for Shamil and Marquavius and their beautiful ministry, their beautiful family, their daughters, and all that they have brought into their home. We ask your covering and grace and mercy, goodness, energy, lots of energy, Lord, for everything that they need each and every day. I pray every need they have would be supplied according to your riches and glory, that you would do that here among us this morning, that the word of truth would stir us, change us, transform us, because we are in desperate, desperate need of you. But thank you for answering the cry of our heart. We're here for you, and in your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can be seated. Yes, you're good. All right. So here's a big question that I want to ask you, and that is, what are some of the sayings, the ideas that you live your life by almost on a daily basis? What are some of the popular sayings, maybe even philosophies, that you live your life by? There's lots of little pithy phrases that we talk about maybe living our lives by. I'm going to say a few of these, and I need you to be responsive here because you're going to finish these with me. So I'm going to say the phrase. You're going to finish how the phrase goes. All right, you ready for this? Are you guys ready? All right. All right, here is one of them. Where did I go? All right. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. Another pithy idea. Honesty is the best policy. These are things that we want to live our lives by, or maybe you do, I don't know. You might not be into honesty, and that's why you're here, all right? Treat someone as you would want to be treated. Hope for the best, but plan for the worst, right? These are all these ideas that float out there all the time in everyday life, and we get to have the opportunity to think about what it is that we live our lives by. These are little, there are philosophies that we live our lives by every day. Some of them you picked up from family or you picked up from friends. Some of the philosophies that you want to live or try to or seek to or do live your lives by came from books. Some of them maybe came from educators, professors, teachers. Some maybe from CNN or Fox News personalities. Some maybe from social media. The question is, something's guiding you every day. And every day we live by different philosophies, and some of them are big and some of them are little. Some of them might not be so significant, like how do you store your coffee beans? There's a philosophy to that, right? But some of the philosophies you want to live by are kind of big, like how soon is too soon to let your kids have social media? And these are questions that we get to ask of ourselves, but something is guiding and something is forming and shaping you every day. Every day, voices, words, thoughts, philosophies, ideas are pressing in from all around, all the time. My question for us is, what are the philosophies you actually live your life by? What are the thoughts, ideas that are shaping you in how you function on a daily basis? That is what God is taking aim at by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul, who is writing to this church and now is, by the Spirit of God, wanting to take on the isms of your life. Lots of isms, the different philosophies by which we operate in this world. And Jesus is going to take on the isms that guide you. And he's going to say, of all of the isms out there, all the philosophies, I am the way and the truth and the life, so that no one will find and experience fullness and glory and everything that you hunger for in your heart, salvation, hope, redemption. You won't find it in any other way, in any other thought, in any other hope. And Paul is taking on the particular isms of the, there's a couple of particular ones. We've talked about them a little bit. One is Gnosticism, and one is legalism. And he's taking these two thoughts on because both Gnosticism and legalism were trying to weave their way into the life of the church. Now, Gnosticism was the idea that you can attain salvation, you can experience, if you will, nirvana by attaining an esoteric knowledge of yourself and the world through mystical knowledge and insights. And because of that, because attainment was related to knowledge and wisdom and insights, therefore, you could do whatever you wanted to with your body. It didn't really matter. The body was irrelevant. In fact, anything that was physical was even seen as evil. Evil. And this thought started to infiltrate the church. Like your body doesn't really matter, and what you do with your body doesn't matter. And so rather than trying to deny that Jesus was God, the Gnostics would just say, yeah, Jesus came, but he didn't come in the flesh because flesh is evil. He was just an apparition. Or some of the Gnostics would say, Jesus wasn't God because he would never put flesh on. He just came to give us great spiritual wisdom and insights. That argument exists today. Jesus was a good teacher, but not God in the flesh, God incarnate. So we can take some of his cool ideas, and the ones that don't align with what I feel is best, I won't follow. That has woven itself into the life of the church in the first century, and it's woven itself into the life of the church in 2026. And the Spirit of God is saying, no, no. There are many isms that exist out here. What is the driving philosophy of your life? What is teaching and training your heart and your thoughts? The way that you choose to live your life. The other philosophy was not Gnosticism, but legalism. And the other idea was that if you honor the law and you do the rules and you keep the festivals and all of your honoring of the calendar and other man-made ideas to only follow God's law, then somehow you could become acceptable to God. If you do enough, show up to church enough and you do the good things, you put on the church face, then you can be acceptable. And so in effect, one philosophy said you're nothing and you need to transcend through thought and understanding. The other says you're everything, and the more you attain and the more you can matter to God, the more you can matter to God or those around you. And God's going to take on all these human philosophies, and here's what he's going to say. They are demonically inspired and they have no part of you. He isn't pulling punches in the text we just read. He's saying, I came to take on all of these worldly ideas that would keep you from having the fullness you were meant to have with me. So don't let it steal or rob from you. So he'll take on the New Age ideas, and he's going to take on that version where we worship creation and make creation the thing. He's going to take on the legalism and achievement. He's going to take on asceticism and trying to be holy through your denial. And he's going to take on excess and sensuality. He's going to take on every one of these isms that try to take root in our lives above the power of Christ crucified, given his righteousness to us. And the reality is that all the things that he's taking on there, they exist today. And he's asking us to awaken. The Spirit of God is asking us to awaken. And here's the warning that we'll see through the scriptures, and you're there in your Bibles. And in verse 8, I want you to look at it, chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to what? Human tradition, or in other words, the way that man likes to think about man. According to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. So here's what he's saying. The verb tense here is don't let someone kidnap you with their philosophy. That's the word. When it says no one takes you captive, the picture is literally carry you away from what is true. Because this is what is happening. Paul's not saying philosophy is bad. He's saying there's one philosophy over all. And all of these other ideas will rob from you, take from you, try to get you aligned with other places and other things, and will ruin the simplicity and the purity of just devotion to the Son of God. There is a simplicity to this, to the greatest philosophy the world has ever seen. It is the most transformative thing, and yet it's the most precious and simple. And here's how the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul says it to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now, here it is. We all come from different ideas, ideologies. Sometimes it depends on where you're born, what country you're born to, what part of the nation you're born to, what denomination you're born into. If you got to grow up in church, all kinds of ideas, thoughts about God. And here's what Paul is saying. My prayer, my fear is that you would get ripped and pulled away from the beauty of this, the purity and devotion to the Son of God. This is what this whole thing is about. Where is your heart in relation to this? Purity of devotion to the living God. Verse 4, if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaim, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. In other words, there are these other messages that are coming through. They are not from the heart of God. They are not from truth, and you're okay with it. And he's saying, don't let the ways of the world steal from a heart that is hungry for the Son of God. That's what God wants with you. If you've ever asked the question, like, where should I go? Or what should I do? Should we move here? Should we move there? Well, those are all great questions. God has beautiful directions and plans for your life. But in all of it, the overarching aim of your business, of your marriage, of your children, of everything you do and every part of your life is this. Where and will you follow this King with pure and simple devotion? That's the question over our hearts. It gets to pull us back to the most fundamental thing. Why? Because that's where your heart will be in heaven. When this thing is finally said and done. And when you and I see Jesus face to face, all of the enterprises of this hour on this earth and everything we got to put our hand to, everything will come down to this issue. We'll be stunned when we see the Savior face to face. Stunned. And he's asking us, will you say no to the ways of the world so you can be stunned with the Son of God now? Be wide open to this man who has given you his everything. You and I will be tempted to find our hope and our meaning and our purpose somehow from within, and it only ends in heartache and disappointment. You and I can't create it. It comes from him. You can't earn purpose. You can't purchase meaning. You can't achieve redemption. You can't create peace enough in your own heart. Mankind has tried it over and over and over again. I'd say the vast majority of all philosophies are trying to get you to experience or to have some measure of understanding and hope and peace. And that's what God is saying through this text. He's saying, you won't find it. You won't find it. You can look at the sun when he talks about the elemental spirit, sun, moon, stars, the environmental cues to try to find lasting hope and peace. It's not there. In other words, stop looking at the horoscope. It's dumb. It's foolish. It's demonic. I'm not trying to be some weirdo who can't be and have normal conversation. I'm saying there is a thousand places to go get garbage by which we live our lives by. And there's one safe place for you, your heart, my heart, and life. It is in purity of devotion to the Son of God. Everything that the human heart seeks to do on its own or from itself will always fall short every time. And so the Spirit of God is just coming to the church to say, stop the trying to find meaning out there, or from this ism, or from that idea, or from that personality, or from that political viewpoint. That's not where you will find hope. This is where you will find hope. This is the supreme philosophy of your life. Are you ready for this? Here's the supreme philosophy of your life. And it will touch your life on a Sunday morning and a Tuesday afternoon. Here it is. Go look in your Bibles. Colossians 2, verse 13. Here it is. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, meaning not in covenant, not connected to God, not in relationship with God. We were dead, but God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. That is the supreme philosophy that will transform your life forever. Not just Sunday morning, but on a good old Tuesday afternoon. Let that philosophy stand over the entirety of everything that you do. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was under condemnation, but then I was forgiven. The record of my life was indebted because of sin. Now no debt stands against me. God has legally purchased me and set me free. He brought me into his family. He brought me into his family, and he gave me a brand new hope and a future. That is the philosophy that will change and transform you on a Tuesday afternoon. We need it. All the philosophies of the world will fall short of all of the longings, the deepest things you've got in you. There's no philosophy out there that will hit it, but the gospel, this good news, will never, ever, ever fail you. Never. It will carry you all the way to the end. And it changes our everyday lives. When you have been rescued by God, hear this. When you've captured this text, this truth, when you've been rescued by God, jealousy starts to lose its grip on you. Do you understand? When you're there on a Wednesday and looking at someone else's life and wishing that you had what they had, and the temptation is to come and try to figure out how you can control and manipulate and get your life to look like that. When you get rescued by the King of Glory, then you can be released of the jealousies that live in this world. Trying to compare yourself to someone else. You've been rescued. Your life is in him for forever. When no debt stands against you, when everything of your life, past, present, and future, gets wiped clean, you got all the confidence you need to step into that job interview. Come on. If the King of Glory, who owns everything, if the King of Glory, who owns everything, has saved you, church, walk tall in the King. Walk in confidence in the fullness that he has for you. It doesn't mean that we won't have shaky moments of life. It means he's covered you. He's walking with you. You and I are not alone. When we're no longer under condemnation, then the shame you feel when you fall short gets to melt away. That's what we all want, right? When we've blown it for like the 500th time. Is that just me? There y'all? All right. Yeah, I mean, this is a messy church, all right? We got some messes up in here, but listen to me. There's no worldly philosophy that will fix it. Try to slap a Band-Aid on it. But the only thing that will fix you from the inside out is when shame gets pulled off of you when you have fallen short and failed. And Jesus took it on the cross and he breathed on you his glory and righteousness. And you get to stand up again as a son or daughter so that Thursday gets completely redefined for you. Otherwise, it's just another, if it's not personal like this, it's just another religion in which we find it falling short. This is what Paul's saying. It's not another philosophy like everything else. This is the record over your life for the next 10 billion years. Stand up, son or daughter, and walk in the fullness of it. And don't let anyone kidnap you from it. So stand up to it. The philosophies of the world will be used by the enemy to keep you bound to anything but Christ. That's why the next scripture is so critically important. Colossians chapter 2, look at it for yourself. Verse 15, he, Jesus, disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. In other words, you now are no longer bound to what you were bound to in the past. No failure, no principality can come against you to steal from what God has done for you in Christ. So the question that we get to ask is, where do you feel bound that is keeping you from the fullness that you have in him? What thought or attitude or idea or heart position or book or media personality has such hold over you that you've sought to try to get aligned, to try to find some hope and purpose, and the Son of God is calling you just back to pure devotion with him? What are the beliefs or thoughts that keep you bound up? What has the enemy sought to, what maybe a lie, maybe put it this way, core lie about you, about your life, about what God can or can't do in your life, or what the ways that God can or can't move? What lie is keeping you from the fullness you are meant to have in him? Next week, we're going to talk about how we actually live and walk in this new identity that was purchased for us on the cross. We're going to talk how we begin to live it out in real ways. That's what we're going to do next week. But we have to start here by naming the places we feel bound. Where do you feel stuck? And can you bring it honestly, earnestly, authentically to the King of Glory to let him speak over it and to it? What are the lies of the enemy that would keep you to believe against the truth of what Christ has done for you? Are there places, let me ask you this, places where you feel bound up because of shame and guilt that have just been heavy on you? What lies have robbed you from experiencing the freedom that just comes from good news? You've been ransomed. You've been bought. You've been made whole, brought into the family. Are there any philosophies that are degrading the power of what God has done in you through Christ? That's where we get to finish this morning. Would you guys just do this? You can put your Bibles down if you want. We're just going to take the last few minutes we have here to do this. And we're just going to finish in a real simple way. I'm going to ask you just to be really real and authentic before God. I won't ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I am asking you to take just a moment and let everything else fade away. All your responsibilities, everything you got to do after this, or everything you're facing on a Monday. You just set it down for a moment. And would you just do this in the most honest and real way before the Lord in your heart? Would you just name the place where you feel most bound? Might be a place of fear, anxiety. It might be a wound that you're carrying. And you've got your arm up against God because you've been really hurt. God's not afraid of that. Maybe it's a place of anger. Or maybe you felt like completely alone. Or maybe you're here and you just are carrying a heaping ton of shame or guilt because you fell short. I'm just going to give you 20 seconds here. But would you just name it? Say it in your heart to the Lord right now. Here's where I feel bound. Now do this. And if it helps you to open your hands, you can open it, but it's time to release. Would you offer it to God as an act of worship and say, I'm handing this over to you. Scripture says the Son of God went to the cross, took our sin, and nailed it there forever to be taken into the grave so that you could be alive, victorious. But you got to hand it over. You can't keep holding on to it. So hand it, offer it. A very simple question. Father, what do you want to give me in exchange for this heaviness right now? What would you offer to me, give to me from your heart? Ask him. there is fresh mercy and forgiveness in this room. There is courage, conviction. There is power to overcome. There is mercy and grace. Immeasurable mercy and grace. Receive now as a son, as a daughter, receive what the Father has to give to you through his Son, by his Spirit, even now. Take it. It's true. It's the most important philosophy the world has ever known. You can be transformed right now. If you're here and you have never asked Jesus to take the heaviness of your life, your sin, failures, shortcomings, hurts, pains, the woundedness of your life, you can offer that to him right now and in exchange receive forgiveness, mercy, to be changed, to be made brand new. The old is gone, the new has come. You can do that right now. We thank you, God, that you alone are the answer to the cry of our heart. You are our supreme philosophy. Jesus, you are my philosophy. I live my life in pure devotion to you, and I will not allow the ways of the world to steal from that purity, to steal from that devotion, to give you my whole heart. Thank you for taking the weight and heaviness of my life. Thank you. Would you thank him now? Just give him gratitude. Thank you, God. It's true. It's not an ethereal thought. You've been made whole and new right now. You've been cleansed. You've been washed. You've been made whole. You've been given courage. You have fresh power to step into. And he is with you, not just Sunday morning, but Sunday afternoon and Monday morning. We all need him Monday morning. Thank you. You're here with us. We receive it again. I'm going to ask you to stand as we close this morning. We'll have just a couple of prayer partners. We'd love to pray with you. I'm going to pray our benediction over us as we go. We're going to pray for, even as I pray for for us to go under the blessing of the Lord. Obviously, last night's events and the shooting that took place with our leaders, many, many, many leaders. The scripture actually calls us to pray for those who are in leadership in high places. And so we want to pray for all leaders in our nation and ask for a return of his heart to our nation, that we would love and care for each other. It's okay to have differences. We have differences even in our own homes. It's okay to have differences, but we don't want to see violence and sickness taking hold in our nation. So, Father, we ask right now for a restoration of righteousness to our land. We pray for all of our leaders in high places. We pray for our president. We pray for those that are in his administration. We pray for our senators, our congresspeople. We pray for all those who are in places of legislation, even here in our state, and even down here in our city. We pray for those who are in places of leadership, and we ask for your divine protection over all of them. We ask that you would continue to stir their heart to love and trust you with their whole lives, that they would come up under your lordship, the supreme philosophy, that they would treasure you above all things, and that they would lead from a place of righteousness and holiness. They would lead from a place of honor unto you. We ask that because that's what we want for our own lives and in our own homes. We bless them now. Would you protect them and give them great wisdom in their leadership? We thank you, Lord, for this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings, guys. Love y'all. We'll see you next week. We'll have prayer partners down front.